How are you? Are you good? Thank you. Good to see you too. I see some new faces, oh, familiar faces, old faces. Maybe I look new for some. It's just because I haven't preached for a while. Who have you been in Afrikaans service? Okay. It's difficult because you can't make the same jokes to, then they hear them twice. But Jaco has obviously he's changed this thing's height to his height. I'm not as tall as Jaco is. Anyway, it's nice to be here. I'll say the same that I said in the first service. All the ladies that were there at that women's conference breakthrough event, we're not hearing what you experienced. Please tell us. Every now and then, we want to hear a testimony. I must say, I'm very blessed. I just heard through Heidi of the people that you invited and that were actually there. I just want to commend the woman. You really made an effort to get other people there as well. That was great. Now, we're thinking, what should we do for the men? The one thing we know is we're not going to spend as much time on decoration like you girls. But I think a braai will be sufficient for us. It's a bring-in braai, not a vat-in braai. That's my joke. But we men feel out, or we'll go fishing or something, and then we just want to feel special also, okay? But obviously, maybe you learned at that conference how to make us feel special. All right, anyway. I'm not going to share what I shared in the first service. You'll have to buy the DVD or download it, but now I don't know what to do. But anyway, I just shared in the first service of last week, Fred's sermon was about building memorials in your life. When God comes through and He does something in your life, you must do something with that. You must proclaim it. People must hear about it. You must spend time there. And this morning, I just shared that. And I'll share the shorter version here, but God has really blessed my family. So please go and listen to what I said. I don't want to repeat it again. I don't feel that I should repeat it again. But if there are things in your life like that, we must celebrate it. We must share it. Breakthroughs. We can't keep all those things. Those are memorials. Those are beacons that we must put out there. And then when you are in a hole, and you can look to that beacon and say, but wait, 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 wait. Let's all just become rational again. And God did come through. It's like maybe He's not answering immediately, but we can see the beacon. He's done something. It's important to have those in life. Amen? All right. So the holiday vibe is setting in. I don't know about you guys, but I'm starting to feel the holiday vibe. You're not? Are you all hardworking? You don't experience that. You're very spiritual. Great. Pray for me. But I want to share this morning on something. The Afrikaans slogan or topic didn't make so much sense, but I think the English one is not too bad. But it is to, going towards, and coming from God's presence or knowing God. As Christians, we are supposed to be on a journey to get to know God. But this morning I want to share on there's a process of coming to God. Okay, and then you go through some stuff. Now you know Him. Just by the way, we'll never know Him completely until Jesus comes back. We'll always learn. I'm not saying we'll ever achieve that state of perfection or whatever it is, but we can. God wants us to live a life where we come to Him, we know Him, and then from that knowledge, that experience that you have with God, but you must have that experience, then you go. Amen. So, Daniel 11:32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong. So I'm just going to focus the next slide there. You'll see. There's a picture. You must think of this picture, imprint this picture on your mind and go away and think about it for the whole week or month or whatever. But we're just going to talk about that first part. But you can be either on the top arrow or the bottom arrow, or maybe not even on an arrow yet in your life walk with God. Then you'll have to get onto an arrow. God wants you to get onto an arrow. But it's where the top one is that you're moving towards. That's when you become a Christian and you give your life to God. Then you're walking towards that circle where you now know God. Okay, where you experience Him. Or you can be on the bottom arrow, but we'll get to the bottom arrow later. But some of the things that need to happen, and I see this in Christians' lives, I was one of them. Maybe I'm still one that go through those stuff. But we go through things, we never deal with them, issues in our lives, so we can't get beyond them. And there are things that we must, all people, like everyone has things that they must work through. And Jesus Christ, Isaiah 61 said, He's come to die, so to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to mend, you know, all that stuff. Jesus came to do that, but God wants us to, then if He does that, He wants us to go beyond, because His will for our lives is not to, let me read the next scripture. Psalm 86 verse 13. For great is your mercy and loving kindness towards me, and you have delivered me from the depths of Sheol, from the exceeding depths of affliction. You have delivered me. There is a deliverance that needs to happen in our lives. Now I'm not going to go into detail about what kinds of deliverance, but there are things in our lives, I call it baggage, that God needs to, that baggage, you know, you can have a traumatic upbringing and your father wasn't there or you were abused. I mean, that's the worst scenario, case scenarios, but some of us just have absent fathers or what, you know, the stuff that we go through, and you, if you don't get what God has intended for you to get, you get baggage. It's like a bag, another rucksack and another rucksack. And now we're trying to walk through life with all this weight. And you can't run with that thing. You can just barely walk. That's survival. Jesus did not come for survival. I'm not supposed to just survive, and when I die, it's like, I'm in heaven. Yeah, just made it. No, I'm not surviving. We're not supposed to survive. So in our lives, there needs to be instances, processes, whatever. I can't say this is how it should happen. I just know it happens. Where God, what is a chirurg in English? Surgeon. Where God becomes the surgeon and He says to you, stop. Let me cut out some stuff. There's things in your life that must get out. And I want to get them out. That's when He cuts out whatever, but He gets rid of the baggage in our lives. Okay. That's why as a church, we make so much emphasis, put so much emphasis on our foundation courses, because they are geared towards, they're not the Alpha and the Omega, but they are just geared towards getting that baggage off your shoulders. All right. So, that first arrow, next, we're just going to talk about what happens when we walk towards God. Does that make sense, that little thing? Huh? All right. Thank goodness. But what happens? I already dealt with the first thing. What happens if we walk towards God? What happens in that circle? What happens there if we meet God? First thing is we get delivered from things. And I also can't tell you, I mean, there's a scripture that says we'll have our final deliverance when Jesus comes back. So deliverance doesn't stop. It's continual. It's a continual revelation of who Jesus is. And it's like, wow. And we learn. So, but another thing that happens if we move towards God and that knowing Him is the next thing. Hebrews 9 verse 14. And this is a very basic sermon. It's not deep theology, but I like preaching this. But we need to come back to stuff like this. Hebrews 19 verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So this scripture tells me, if I have dead works in my life, I can't serve the living God. God wants to get rid of dead works in my life so that I can serve Him. What is dead works? You can have preach a sermon service just on dead works. I'll explain with a little example. The other day I was talking to somebody. He calls himself, I'm not saying he's not, but he says he's saved. He's a bekeerling. So I said, so what did you do? What do you have to do to get your salvation? Mr. Bekeerling. So I said, no, I must stop. I stop doing this. And I must be a good person and I can't do that. And I can't. And I said, listen, you're missing it. Dead works. Christianity, I love this. That's why I'm an evangelist. But Christianity is the only religion where it says somebody else did it. You take. It's like a gift. You don't deserve it. Shouldn't get it. But you get it. So dead works is stuff that we try and do to attain God's approval. If this is a revelation to you, Christians have a lot of dead works. You can be in the band, you can do what I do, and it will be dead works. Can be dead works. I'm not saying it is, but if it is out of a motivation to please God, if it's out of a motivation, you know, to be cool or try and show people that I'm awesome and I prophesy, and when it's anything like that, Scripture says it's dead works. We do what we do for God out of thankfulness of what He has done. Then we start living. Then it's a different motivation. And what I can tell you is, I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to myself, we're very spiritual. We shouldn't be so spiritual. We all suffer with this. It's, if you live out of dead works, ooh, band, worship band leader, pastor, but it's dead works. It's out of the wrong motivation. It will backfire somewhere in your life. It will backfire, meaning it will become a big mess. You'll burn out people that flow in dead works, that work, do things for God out of the wrong motivation. They can't make it. The devil takes them out. Somewhere they burn out because it's the wrong motivation. And moving towards God there, that circle, knowing God, God wants to deal with our stuff. That God had to deal with a lot of dead works in my life, just getting religiousness out of my life. All that stuff that it gives me the creeps. It's got all these rules and regulations. Now I live a godly life, but it's because of thankfulness. God would want to get rid of your dead works as you move towards Him. And I want to say to some people here, you might do lots of things for God. A lot of things might be dead works. I want to bless you and say, stop it. Stop it. So that you can live out of abundance. Amen. Something else that happens in that circle or there, going to God, going, is, I said a whole summer about this, but our souls get anchored. So now the wind comes, the waves, it's all right, you're moving a little bit, but at least you're staying in one place, because there's an anchor. So many Christians walk without anchors. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And it goes on and it says, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. But if you look at these people, I mean, look at these things. They went through all these things, hardship, trouble, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. And yet they had a revelation of God's love that although they did this waves and wind, they stood in one place and nobody could argue or debate about God's love. So in all of that nonsense, they said, but we're not worried. We're okay because we know something. We have a revelation of His love. If things go wrong a little bit, that doesn't mean He changes. But so many Christians, and I was there. I was one of them. Maybe hopefully I don't do that again. But is that they come to Christ, and that's why, now I must think before I talk. And then something goes wrong. The boyfriend leaves you, or the cat dies, or something bigger happens. And then, is the cat die for some a big thing? Sorry. If our dog dies, I would cry. I would. I wouldn't have to clean their nonsense every morning, but I would. But something happens, and then we chuck God out of the equation. God is not there anymore, because this happened to me. All I can tell you is, God, then you still, what happened here? In my hand. Dis hierdie ding wat Jaco geverf het. And then your whole foundation is shaken. And it shouldn't be shaken. It shouldn't be shaken by outside circumstances, but it won't be shaken if you've been in that circle. Are you with me? If you've gone to that place where God has revealed himself to you and you're like, whatever comes, you know, it's not going to be nice. We don't have to smile all the time. I hate Christians that smile all the time. I mean, sometimes we must be like, that was a bad day. This was, Carol, was that too much? Anyway, Hebrews 6, verse 19 to 20. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. God wants to anchor us. He wants to get you to a place where you don't doubt his love, even if things don't go according to our plan. And it can be terrible things. I mean, that's where God's grace comes in. But, you know, sometimes we deal with people and I realize they've been through hell. And, you know, then you can only pray for them and trust that God reveals his love to them. Because people have been through terrible things in life, far worse than what I've been through. But it applies to them. It applies to a place getting to knowing God. Amen? Something else that happens on that way is, and that's very straightforward, but is you experience God's grace to save. There's a scripture, I couldn't find it this morning, but it speaks about the multi-sided grace of God. There's different graces. It's all grace. But the one side of grace, it's just a grace that God has given us to save us. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. So on that first arrow where you go towards God, that is the stuff that he will start dealing with. And if we can get dead works out of our lives, and he still says, if you realize that's how I got saved, in my room, reading a book, speaking about God, about sin, and then I realized I'm a sinner. But then I realized God's died for me, and he's okay with that, and he gives me salvation. That's where I got saved. Right there I got saved, and I said, but Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for hurting you, Dad. And there I experienced the grace of God. There I accepted God there because something clicked. And walking on that arrow, it must happen in your life somewhere where you realize that I don't deserve this. Yet he gives it. So that's a saving grace that we experience. I read a book about, no, it's not Smith Wigglesworth, it's some other English revivalist which struggled with this thing. I mean, this is basic Christianity, but he struggled with this and he wanted to please God and do the right things, and he never felt like he's saved and accepted by God. But he's going out and he's preaching. So the one day he's preaching to a drunk man on the street, and he preaches to him the gospel and says, by grace you will be saved. And this guy starts crying. And he's like, wow, I'm saved. And he's happy and he's running around. And what's his name? It's not Wigglesworth. But the pastor is very offended with God because he's like, God, you're giving this man what I'm looking for. I've been looking for this for years and he got it. I'm doing your work. And he is set free. I can see it. He's been saved by grace. Why can't you give it to me? And God just had to smack him and say, listen, it's about grace. It's not about all your works. Through a drunk man, he spoke. Grace. Amen. All right. Then we get to the next arrow. Next line. I told in the first service, I got saved in 1998. And I think I was in Bible school first year, 99. And Pastor Fred, at one of those meetings, he's got this way of, he says something, and you know it's profound, but you don't understand it. It's so deep and big and whatever, so you take it, and you think about that thing for years. And I started to realize, maybe not lately, but I realized after a couple of years what he meant. And now I can tell it to you. Hopefully you'll understand it today, not the years. But he said, you can, and God wants you to live God wants to get you to a place, that circle, where it's God's presence, where you are delivered, where you're everything, you know, where you're clean and you're free before God. We have peace and your freedom in your heart. We have that. But you know what? That can happen, and the devil would want it to take a lifetime to get there. But Jesus says that's not where life stops. That's the first hurdle. So you can decide in your life, or God would want you to move beyond that. That doesn't mean you get rid of the love and now it's just work or whatever for God. And no, you still live out of that state of peace and freedom. But there's something beyond it. There's another arrow that's the next arrow. It's from that you must live. And where you start, that's what I'm going to explain now. And I realized lately what he meant, because I struggled in my life constantly, and I realized afterwards why. I constantly struggled, and you might struggle with a lot of other things or something similar, is that I struggled, am I a Christian? I was constantly battling. That's all that was going on in my mind for years. Am I a Christian? And you know what? It was the devil doing that, because he kept me on the first arrow. Because I could just go a little bit, and then guilt would come and it would pull me back. Then I'm back, and then I'd go again, and then, are you really saved? Then I'm back. Because he wanted to keep me there on that first arrow, because then I mean nothing to the rest of the world. Then I'm struggling with my things, and God wants to get to a place, that's what we prayed here in the beginning, it's where he wants to say, listen, I can save you, I can make you whole, now what? If that happens when you're 25, are you just going to live in that state? And I must be sensitive here, and it's like we should never lose that intimacy with God. And now we're just doing things for God. We can't lose it. We must always operate out of the right motivation. But living on that first arrow, or just trying to get to know God, that is survival. And like I said, Jesus said, I've come to give life and life in abundance. I'm not yet to survive. I'm not. Sometimes you have to tell the devil in your circumstances this. I've realized one thing, and it's a humbling experience, is you get this victory in your life, and then a month later you have another challenge. But what I've learned now is when that challenge comes, previously I would be like, what am I going to do now? The devil is back. Yes, he's back. But now I can tell him, listen, it's fine. We'll deal with this issue, but you know what happened to you last time. So it's fine. It's a little bit tough now, rough and tough. We'll get through this because I'm going somewhere. Amen. So let's look at what happens on that second arrow. What if you meet God? The first thing I want to tell you is, if you experience God and His love, is 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Lucille would say this quite clearly. There was apparently in some church, in one of Shofar churches, the people just wanted to go to soaking meetings. Now, I've got no issue with a soaking meeting. Soaking meetings where you just stand in God's presence and worship, we do that. But if you just soak, then Lucille said, let's just stop that soaking stuff. In God's presence, if there is... if God never speaks to you in His presence, I must be careful what I'm saying. If He never speaks to you about other people in His presence, then I don't know. But the closer you get to God, He starts revealing His heart. His heart is not only for you. His heart is for. So the closer you get to God, He starts revealing, and sometimes it's not nice. But then we just start experiencing what His Holy Spirit experiences. And that's where you grow, that's where the love of Christ compels you. Like Paul, crazy man for Jesus. But it compels him. There's something that drives him. You can't stop it. Don't try and stop it. It's not going to stop because I've been somewhere. I've met God somewhere. There's something that drives me, and it can't be stopped. In God's presence, He starts sharing His heart with us. And I want to say that sometimes God would challenge you It's also not nice, but it happens. And he would say, I want you to do this in church or that, you know, I want you to. It might not always be the thing that you would want to do, but I can tell you that, please, the first thing that you must do is pray that you get a heart for the people. Pray that God shows you his heart for those people, because we can't work with people. Small group leaders can't. We can't send people to a small group leader and a pastor, because a small group leader is just a pastor. It's a shepherd. To someone that doesn't have a heart for people. It's the wrong place. I must send him to people that has a heart. Where am I now? Love that compels. And I cannot manufacture that love that compels here this morning, but I can just encourage you. Go to God. Seek his face. And if you don't have a heart for people, I mean, sometimes we're just human, we're just tired, we don't want to deal with people, blah, blah, blah. But you can get that love that compels in his presence. Amen. Titus 2 verse 14, we spoke about dead works. And I think it's John, 1 John or 1 Peter, 1 John I think. He says that faith without works is dead. But we just spoke about dead works. So what am I talking about? There's works that's dead, but then scripture says if you don't have works, then that's dead. That's dead faith. There is good works. The dead works is before salvation. You're doing stuff, yeah, to please God. But your salvation is actually, you must first get saved. Good works. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. Something else that will happen in that knowing God, getting to know God, is good works will flow. And good works, now some of you might think, oh, now I must prophesy and preach to people. No, 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 that's not. That's not all good works. That is good works. But it's just whatever God tells you to do. To reach out to that person, do this for that person, buy somebody a drink, buy them a Christmas box or whatever. That's a good work. It's fine. Don't worry. Don't stress yourself on that you're going to have to do now weird stuff. You grow into things. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Yeah. But we are called to good works. I saw this clip about, I don't know if it fits in here now, but I'll share it anyway. Clip about Jesse Duplantis. Who of you know him? It's this guy with the white hair. Old toppy now, but in the 70s, God took him to heaven. He experienced heaven. He saw everything. And one of the things I can just share with you what he saw is that in God's presence, things prospered. There was an abundance. But you must understand, in heaven there was no greed or malice or anything like that. So what would happen here, if there was lots of abundance, then people would be greedy and grab. But in heaven there's not stuff like that. But God's nature in heaven is abundant. It's overflowing. It just happens. It's his nature. It's not like he's a God that says, oh, no more. His nature is give, 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 give. That's why if you have a child like me, like I told people in the first service, I mean, she climbs into cupboards now and she likes shoes. She eats shoes, stuff. Nothing that she does really so blessed. I mean, she's just being a kid. So nothing that she does is like, now I'm talking. But she blesses me because who she is, she's my child. I love her. Eat that shoe. Yeah? I love it. That has got nothing to do with what I want to say now. But anyway, God is abundant. His love is abundant. It's not about what we do. That's his nature. In his presence, he gives. He adds. He's got no holding back. But anyway, so let's go back to the good works. God wants us to flow in all that. All in gifts, in doing good works. I told the people I'm getting up, I mean, it's just an idea, it's not like, but at least the vets are connected to some movie people. But we must make a movie. What is it? You guys going out or in? Or? All right. We must make a movie about how amazing a Christian life should be. I used this example and I use it again. You know that movie, The Matrix? Some of you are too old, but some of you are too young. Did you see it, Carol? Yeah, okay. I know there's some people that it's evil Matrix. But anyway, I saw The Matrix. And in the end, let me just summarize it. Sorry, Carol. Is this guy, they're living in the Matrix and they're all basically a bit of zombies and they don't experience life fully. And now Neo, he realizes it. And right there in the end, his mission in life almost is, I must go and get people out of the Matrix. That's my goal in life. I must go and reveal to them what the truth is. But now, my point is, as Christians, we can have that supernatural lives. Like C.S. explained. You know, it's like we pray for something and then God sends somebody over our path and God gave us a word and we give that word and the guy gets saved and God gives us a dream about, you know, it's, we can have lives like this, man. We can make movies. I want to make a movie about people that, just normal people like us that live. I'm not going to make them, I shouldn't say I'm not going to make the movie, but just something I'm thinking of. I don't know where to start. But of living this amazing spirit-filled life. It's not boring. I remember the first time I got into small group. I was probably just half saved. I don't know what I was. I had this long hair and I walked in and I said, Here, ek soek hier vir vele gemense nie. I don't want boring Christians around me. And luckily God gave me all these weird and wacky Christians. They were all cool, man. They were surfers and stuff. But most, the greatest fear some people out there have, they must get over it, but is that we're boring. We're not. We live a life that's filled with the power, can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, where God does things, where He manifests. Amen. Philippians 3 verse 14. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Upward call. We can have a life where we just live on the first arrow. Or where you realize, but hey, wait a minute, there's more to it. God, there's an upward call. There's a calling that God wants me to walk in. Like I said again in the first service, please don't quit your jobs tomorrow. There's an upward call for you being a scientist, being an engineer, being a housewife, just a wife, you know, whatever it is. There's an upward call. There's a second arrow. There's the one where you move out, where God sends you, where you can walk in an abundance and exciting life with God. I'm almost finished. Acts 4 verse 33. We spoke about grace. The first grace that I mentioned there, it's a grace where God just saves us. Saving grace. But there's another grace. Acts 4:33. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Now the great grace that it speaks of there is there was such a presence of God on them, favor on their lives, that grace manifested everywhere. People got saved. People got healed. That's what we can have. In the first service, Carl, or no, it wasn't Carl, but there was a scripture on it was, let me just see. Matthew 9:37. It says that the laborers are few, therefore, pray for the laborers. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And what happens, what God wants us to happen, and that's His ultimate for every Christian, is that we're on that first arrow, we meet Him, and then He says, do you want to become a laborer? God's not going to be angry if you're not a laborer. He's a loving Father. Whether or not you stay a child, just do what a child does, it's fine. But he would ask you, do you want to become a laborer? Now, I believe then, and the Here I must be very sensitive, but there's a change happening there when you make that decision in your life. When you make that decision, is yes, God has blessed me. I know Him, and I'm continually going to grow in His love and getting to know Him. But I'm a laborer. Then it's like I was explaining it, and maybe it was a bit hard in the first service, but then you know that you've stepped into war. Spiritual war. You're now not, your soul has been saved. Now you're on the other side. Now you are fighting with God. Now the rules have changed. You know, it's like, example I can use is, let's use Yaku as an example. But I mean, Yaku and Nadia and all those wonderful people that worked with helped with the women's, what's it, conference or awakening last week. But those people must have been very tired afterwards. Thank God they didn't get offended. We shouldn't push people too far. Just hear my heart now. But when you're a laborer, you know that you get tired every now and then. But because you're fighting with God, then you're past that place where God just always needs to bless you and always everything needs to be cushy and all that stuff. You know, you're knowing now, I'm fighting with God. When you're fighting, some bullets hit now and then. You might get a few bruises. But we are walking, we are running with God. And I can tell you that God will protect and all that stuff. But there's a change of rules. It's like, I'm a laborer. It's all right if I get a little bit tired. I'm here to save other souls. I'm here to be strong for other people. And there's a... just want to add that, you know, I've seen it. I've seen it with my own life. When I became pastor, I'm now semi-pastor. But of this church, there's so many stuff you don't know how to deal with. But the moment you step out, God helps. He does help. He comes, the grace, that grace that I was talking about, it comes. It comes. Because somebody has stepped out and said, I'm a laborer. The grace comes. Faith, people, is... I don't want to condemn anybody. You shouldn't feel condemned. But faith is a blind thing. It's like something. We can't always know what's going to happen if we put the next step forward. That's not faith. I don't know why God did it like that. You know, because we're people. Why can't He just show us what will happen? I don't know. He doesn't. But it's faith. It's that trust that we must have in Him. Amen. I'm almost finished. Daniel 11 verse 32. That scripture that I read right in the beginning. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Scripture also says that we will do greater things than Jesus Christ. This scripture here says, people that know their God, that circle, they've been there. They go out of there with a motivation and with, you must go out of there. Please don't jump the arrows if you haven't been there. If you haven't met God and jump into some works or whatever, it's not. It's out of that knowing God, like the scripture says. They know Him, they are strong, and they carry out great exploits. They have matrix lives, if I can put it like that. They can have amazing, fulfilled, abundant lives. Amen. The next slide there, then I'll finish. Next one, Aaron John. Please don't jump those lines. Don't act out of I don't know what, self, out of pride or anything. Don't do things for God if it's not out of a sincere gratitude for Him. Why am I saying that? Because you're going to burn out somewhere. You're going to get hurt somewhere. You're going to get offended somewhere. Don't. Go to God. Get to God. And out of that, don't do anything. And I'm saying, pastors can do this. I can do it. Where I live, where I do things for God out of the wrong motivation. Don't do that. If you find yourself that you have jumped the line and you're somewhere and you're not where you're not supposed to, go back. Work, do things for God out of the right motivation. Amen. Now this is the next final practical thing. How does one start? If you've not decided, I want to be a laborer, I want to do things for God. God has blessed me. What do? The next thing you do is you're just obedient to the next thing. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." I don't want you to jump out of here and now you start your own ministry, some ministry, because you feel condemned, convicted, whatever it is. God just asks us, like a gentleman, He tells you the next thing to do. There's something I had to learn again, all over again the last few months, is till you don't do everything, just listen and then do what I ask you to do. The next thing, just one thing. If you're like me, then you get frustrated and you say, "Well, I must do this." Did He say you must do that? And sometimes we think we're very cool if we do these big things for God, but He just asked you to go and give a word to the secretary, whatever. Just do that. That's the next thing you must do. I can share something. I'm not bragging. I'm almost complaining about how disobedient I am. But when CS came, you know, with the SOS, it just challenged me to be close to God, listen to God. And I went to work in Windhoek, and there was this young engineer there. And when I saw him, I thought, man, this, I don't know what, but I must pray about this guy. So I prayed, and I got a word for him. Now, like, going to work, and I say, "Can you come here?" And I share the word with him, and he's like a little bit, I guess he took it all right. But now, he's back in university there in the north, or technicon, whatever it is. And now he needs to go and do holiday work. And he emailed me, he wants to come do holiday work with me. Now, I don't know why he didn't decide to go. Maybe it's just Swakop, that's nice. Maybe it's spiritual. But anyway. But why did, if I didn't, now, okay, now I must listen to the next thing I must do when he's coming. I have to pray for the next thing. But I was just obedient in that one thing, and now I'm seeing the fruit. I'm hoping, you know, I'm just hoping something happens. But I was just obedient in that small thing. Now the guy's going to be in the office for me for 2 weeks. Now I must hear the next thing. But if I was busy with setting up some outreach that God didn't tell me to do, I would miss all of this. As Christians, we just, I always say, this is not part of the sermon, but I'm just saying, I always say that if you're overwhelmed by what you must do for God, no one to tell you, it's a devil that's telling you that. God doesn't overwhelm us. Yes, we can be overwhelmed with the need that's out there, but the next thing, I mean, God, He'll just show you. He'll just show you. And I get so many people, then they want to do 40 things at a time and none of it works. Because God didn't say any about the 40 things. He just said one thing. Listen. Amen. Can we stand? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to hear Your voice. Father, the people that are here this morning and they are acting out of dead works, and there's a lack of God's freedom and peace in your life, Father, I pray for them in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You that Your conviction of Your Holy Spirit is good for our souls. It's good to hear it. So I just want to pray against any condemnation that's here this morning. I can tell you, condemnation is that thing that wants you to run away. Conviction is the thing that makes you want to run to God. Father, I pray for people here that feel far from You, and they want to come and make right their relationships with You. Father, I pray for them in Jesus' name. I pray that they will hear Your Holy Spirit, Lord, and respond to Your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank You for the great exploits that's going to come out of people that we don't even think. In our own eyes, we've written them off. But they're gonna put up their hands and say, I want to be a laborer, and they're gonna do mighty things for you. I pray for them, Father. I pray your protection over them, Lord. I pray that thing that the devil uses against them, that pulls them back all the time, I break that in Jesus' name. I don't know what it is. There are so many things that he can use, but I want to tell you, rise above those things. Take charge of that thing in your life and say to the enemy, I've dealt with it. I'm giving it to God and I'm going ahead in Jesus' name. Father, also pray for people here that are laborers and become tired sometimes. Lord, you speak in your word about a rest that we can have constantly. And that's not a rest where we don't do anything, but it's a state that we live in, that we can experience, where we just constantly feel that rush of grace through our lives, that grace that upholds us, that joy that upholds us. Lord, and I pray if there are people that have become tired, that you will just strengthen them this morning, Lord God, and open that channel again for that grace to flow through their lives, Lord God. Lord, I feel there's some people here that God is saying, you must stop a little bit. You must stop a little bit. You must just stop and be quiet before him again. Just recharge your batteries again. He's not impressed with your works. Yes, but he loves you as a child. Come, just slow down a little bit and come back to God so that he can recharge you. There's nothing wrong with stopping every now and then. We're running a marathon. We're not sprinting a marathon. So, Lord, I just pray for your precious people here, Lord, and that just pray for our church as well in Jesus' name. Father, make us a great exploit church. Make us people that live in the Spirit, Lord. And we don't want to complain that we're not flowing in the gifts as we should. We're thanking you that we will flow in it. If we are going to be obedient, we'll flow in them. Father, and we put up our hands and we say, we want to follow you. We want to do great exploits for you. Father, I thank you that you'll also bring people over our paths. And as we spend time with you in quiet times, you'll speak to us and we'll have divine appointments. Where we think we cannot have divine appointments, you will make divine appointments happen in Jesus' name. I just want us to bow our heads. If you are here this morning and you want us to pray for you, that maybe you're not a Christian yet. Maybe you've never even started on that arrow going towards God. I'm just talking about people that you're standing here and you're saying, you're realizing, but I don't have a relationship with God. I have not started even. As our heads are bowed, I just want you to, if you are like that and you realize you have to give your heart to Christ, you have to come and accept the gift of salvation. Maybe you've tried. You try and stop this, or stop doing that, or start being a good person. I want to say that stuff is not going to work. You have to come to a place where you say, Jesus, I give you my life. I accept your gift of salvation. If there's anybody here like that this morning, while our heads are bowed, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, I want you to just raise your hand. Put up your hand high so that I can see it. Is there anybody? And if you are here this morning, I'm just going to close off. And you want prayer, you know, on anything that I prayed this morning. Maybe you feel you're tired, or you're acting out of dead works. Then I want you to come forward and I'll pray for you. Because it's important to live out of the correct motivation for God. So I'm going to close off now, but I want you to come forward and just come and chat to me and say, I want prayer in this area. Father, I thank you for this service. I pray that you'll bless these people, those that drive, those that are going to drive to Swakop. We just break all those curses on the road in Jesus' name. We thank you that people will be safe in Jesus' name. Amen.